It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
I wonder how people are going to view the debates that we are having now about social media. It is not every day you get to interview a man who is a foremost professor of economics. It's not every day you get to interview a gentleman who is one of the foremost medical researchers and accomplished academicians of our time. And it's not every day you get to interview a man whose tweets have caused one of the most consequential Supreme Court cases in our lifetime. But it's even rarer when all three of those men happen to be the same person. And that is the case right now. I'm very happy to welcome back to the program Professor of Medicine and Economics, among other things. We only have a four-hour show. I'm not going to read all his titles. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. Dr. Bhattacharya, it's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Frank, what an introduction. So glad to talk to you, too.
So I spoke a little bit about the Supreme Court case last week, and I thought it was very alarming, for instance, that Justice Jackson was so overt in what she was saying in the discussion with the Solicitor General from Louisiana about the First Amendment and what the consequences of this would be. This was Justice Jackson.
My biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods.
A lot of folks reacted to this segment and said, look, of course the government has the ability to communicate with social media companies to let them know that there's misinformation on their platform. You were, along with some other very controversial people, sort of the linchpin of this. Let's back it up a couple of years if we can. Explain to folks what happened to you, what you were putting out there on social media, what Twitter found to be, or the government found to be, offensive, and how this has now ended up at the Supreme Court.
Sure. So in October 2020, I wrote with Sunetra Gupta of Oxford University and Martin Kulldorff of Harvard, the Great Barrington Declaration. Longtime listeners of yours will know about it because you actually uncensored me, Frank, by having me on the show.
Dr. Kulldorff as well, but you know, he was a regular on that topic as well.
Yeah. So, but not that many places had us on. It turns out that 4 days after we wrote the declaration, the head of the NIH wrote to Tony Fauci calling for a devastating takedown. Google censored the declaration in search terms. Facebook took down the declaration's main page. Later on, when I spoke at a policy conference organized by Governor DeSantis, I was speaking directly to the governor, who's filmed. He asked me about whether there was any evidence that masking children did any good. I told him no. YouTube took down that video. So the social media companies systematically suppressed my points of view, like scientifically backed points of view on how best to manage the pandemic. A lot of people, as a result, didn't know that there was tremendous controversy among scientists, that in fact the lockdowns, the school closures, all that nonsense we went through actually wasn't like unanimously supported by scientists. In fact, a lot of scientists, probably maybe the majority of scientists, disagreed. They were just silenced by the threat of the head of the NIH basically coming after them. And social media concurred, at least that's so I thought. In a lawsuit that I am a plaintiff called the Missouri versus Biden case, brought by the Missouri and Louisiana Attorney General's Office, it turns out it's not just social media companies that were doing it on their own. They were doing it at the behest of the federal government. The federal government, the NIH, the CDC, the Surgeon General's Office, the White House itself went to social media companies and told them, you should censor these people and these ideas. And they did it quietly behind the scenes. I heard that quote from Justice Jackson live, actually. I was at that Supreme Court hearing. I was absolutely stunned by it. I mean, if the First Amendment doesn't hamstring government, it literally says Congress shall make no law breaching the freedom of speech. What is it for? It's the reason to hamstring government in that way is because that is a fundamental civil right that the government should never violate. Of course, it should be hamstrung from violating fundamental civil rights. I mean, that's so I thought.
Now, obviously, I agree with you completely on this, but there are going to be some folks that say, look, Dr. Bhattacharya is a respected professional, a respected academic, and a respected economist and a medical professional. If he were to go on Twitter and say something crazy and harmful, which, by the way, some people said your position on masking, even though I think it's largely been borne out, they say that was harmful. But if you were to go out on social media and say, drinking bleach could make sure that you don't get COVID, that would be something that some people may take seriously because of your bona fides and could cause a lot of people harm, maybe even to die. Why shouldn't the government have the ability to say to a social media company, hey, this is harmful content that you're allowing on your platform?
You know, Frank, the thing is that the government was the number one source of misinformation during the pandemic. We just talked about masks, on school closures, on whether there's immunity after you get COVID, whether there's whether the vaccine has side effects, on topic after topic after topic, whether the vaccine stops you from getting and spreading COVID. On topic after topic after topic, the number one source of misinformation during the pandemic, the ones that were most consequential, were put out by the government. The First Amendment protects us against government misinformation by allowing private citizens with expertise or even without expertise, but who just happened to be right, to counter the government. The government does not have a monopoly on the truth. And the presumption that the government has a monopoly on truth is entirely counterfactual. You could see it during the pandemic. The other thing is, there was Justice Saxon, I don't know if you have this clip, where she plays this, does this hypothetical about a social media fad where kids jump out of windows, taller and taller buildings, by challenging each other. And she says, well, you have to have the government has the ability to suppress that kind of misinformation because it kills people. You know, that kind of misinformation, you know, like I'm saying you should drink bleach, that's actually pretty easy to counter. Right? It's in the interest of basically everyone to counter it. You don't need the government to tell people not to drink bleach. Any person that tells you to drink bleach, other people who will be in social media will immediately jump on them and say, look, drinking bleach is a bad idea. Parents can tell kids not to jump out of windows. You don't need the government to tell you not to jump out of windows. What you need is private citizens to be able to tell the government, look, what you're saying is just absolute nonsense. You're hurting people. A lot of people are dead today, Frank, that would be alive had there been free speech during the pandemic.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Wow. Well, look, it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. So if I understand the legal history of this case, the lower level federal court ruled in that the government could not have this communication with social media companies. Then the circuit appeals court ruled the same thing. Now the Supreme Court is evaluating this based on the reaction, the verbal questions that several of the justices, not just Justice Jackson, but several of them were raising. It seems like the Supreme Court is going to go against the lower courts. Do you have any reason that people like me can be optimistic?
I mean, I came into that case convinced that there's no way the Supreme Court could rule against us. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be 9-0. That shows you how naive I am about courts. when you introduced me, I noticed you didn't say anything about any legal background because I don't have any. I was depressed walking out of the hearing because it sure sounded like several of the justices didn't understand the most basic thing about the First Amendment.
Right.
If Frank, I'll tell you, if we lose this case, the United States effectively doesn't have a First Amendment. In effect, if we lose this case, we are telling the American people that the government can censor at will, and they can do it behind closed doors where no one else would know about it. Right? It's the government tried to make a case that that if they lose the case, the government will be unable to tell people basic facts. Well, you know, the president has a bully pulpit. The CDC can put out whatever guidance it wants. Do it out in the open. Don't do it behind closed doors, acting like as if they're tyrants. Instead of that, why don't they just, if they want to counter misinformation, tell people the truth? If they're trustworthy, people will listen to them.
As far as the issue of censorship goes, some people are going to say that communication between the government and a social media company isn't censorship. They're going to say, look, they're not prohibiting Twitter from allowing Dr. Bhattacharya or Frank Morano's tweets to stay up there. They're just advising them that what they're putting out there is inaccurate, even though in your case, it's certainly not. Twitter could tell the government no, couldn't they?
I mean, in principle, they could, but a lower court dealt with this. When you have the FBI coming and telling you, take down this information, it's very difficult for a social media company to say no. When you have an agency or a White House that controls whether they can sue you for antitrust, whether they can regulate you out of existence, it's very difficult to say no. It's like what the lower court said about this is it's as if Al Capone were to come to your business asking for protection money. And
right.
And what do you say? In effect, the threat there is that's a nice business you got there. Wouldn't be shame if something were to happen to
right.
it. That's essentially what the government was doing. And look, the government, it's not even theoretical. The government's suing Apple for antitrust. It's threatening Elon Musk for basically putting free speech back on Twitter. So none of this is theoretical. It actually happened. In principle, I guess they could say no, but it's very difficult to say no when an entity that could put you out of business says, take this down or else.
Right. Particularly, I mean, it's not one issue that the government has regulatory control over social media on. It's a multitude of issues. You saw the hearings recently, the threats of regulation of youth social media use, the threats of taking away things like Section 230 protection. There's certainly an argument to be made that Meta is a trust that could be broken up just like Apple. So if one wonders if any of these companies were to say no repeatedly to the government's request to censorship, how long they would be walking around with that nice business that is unmolested by the governmental Al Capone in this scenario. So as it stands now, Dr. Bhattacharya, when is the Supreme Court expected to rule? Are we talking weeks, months?
So we should know by June.
June.
We should have a ruling by June, yeah. And just to be clear, this is a ruling on a preliminary injunction. So, that basically until the actual trial, if we win, the Biden administration would not be allowed to censor. Whether we win or lose, we're still going to go back to the lower court and we'll still get our trial. There's still a lot more to discover about how the government censored, the mechanisms used, how widespread it was.
I'm so glad you clarified that because I don't know that I even understood that completely. So even if that you guys lose in this case, that doesn't mean that the government can go right back to telling Twitter what to take down. That just means that the trial can go forward.
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, but I do think that if we lose this case and the Supreme Court essentially says until we have a trial result, we should be able, the government should be allowed to censor. That would be a really bad signal. That would send the signal to the government that it's completely wide open to censor. A lot of censorship happened during the last 4 years, even during up to in the run up to the election. Some censorship happened, such as with the New York Post story on the Hunter Biden laptop. This essentially would change the election too, Frank. It would allow censorship activities by the Biden administration in full while a presidential election is going on.
Do you think that if the Supreme Court rules against you here, and I actually think it's against all of us that value free speech in social media and really everywhere, but do you think if they rule against you that this would also lead to the social media companies being much more careful and engaging in a sort of self-censorship, even when not prodded by the government?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, I think we saw this in some of the discovery, some of the weaponization task force in the House. They interviewed people in Facebook, and what they found was evidence that Facebook essentially was they would say amongst themselves, "Look, the government's what's asking us to do violates the First Amendment, but we kind of ought to do it anyways because if we don't, we won't be able to get X, Y, and Z legislative a priority that we want or regulatory priority that we want." Here you'll have direct threats by the Biden administration telling the social media companies censor or else. I mean, and sanctioned then by the Supreme Court, absolutely you'll get self-censorship.
Let me just briefly take advantage of your medical expertise. We've talked a lot about COVID shots and who should be getting them before. There was a debate among my neighbors yesterday about whether or not they should get the flu shot. Do you have a view on the flu shot at all? Do you think that's something people should get?
I mean, certainly people that are vulnerable, I think a flu shot is a wise thing to do. It's, it's a very different technology and much older and much better understood technology than the mRNA technology that the COVID shots have. And, I worked actually with the FDA on flu vaccine safety for a while. It's, I think, a pretty safe shot generally. The only issue with it is that if you guess wrong what strain of the flu is going to go around is any particular year, it may not be particularly effective. But I do think generally it's what's warranted to take.
Makes sense. Dr. Bhattacharya, I know how in demand you are. I have always appreciated the fact that you always kept us in mind and remembered us, the little people.
The little people. Thank you, Frank. I'm grateful to you that you had me on when it was difficult to get my word out.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, if you want to comment on any portion of our conversation, give me a call, 1-800-848-9222. I do agree with what Dr. Bhattacharya said there, that this really does demolish the First Amendment as we know it, if the Supreme Court rules against them here. So we'll see where we go from here. Fingers crossed, in my view. 800-848-9222. We'll take your call straight ahead.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.